You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
As we begin our reflection this morning on this portion of the sixth chapter of John's Gospel, I want to start at another portion of Scripture and work our way toward this. One of the series we've been having now in the Dean's class, and I just think it's a blast, is different folks from the staff and the congregation are sharing their favorite verse or their favorite portion of Scripture. And today is Tom Murray will be sharing his. And I did mine earlier in the summer, and of course, naturally, I quibbled a little bit. I mean, you know, one particular portion is kind of hard, but I share now one of my favorite portions of Scripture, and you may remember in the 16th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, Paul and Barnabas, a sharp dispute arises between them over the person of John Mark, who would later become the author of the Gospel of Mark. And this dispute over John Mark caused them to go their separate ways for a period of time before God brought them back together again. But if you remember, in the 16th chapter of Acts, Paul had a plan, and that plan was to go and to share the word in Asia. And we hear a seemingly, at least for me initially, a seemingly strange word from God is that Luke records that God blocked Paul from entering into Asia. He would not allow him to enter into Asia. Nothing less than the very Spirit of God and later the Spirit of Jesus prevented him from going into Asia. And we hear that he wandered around through Phrygia and eventually into Bithynia. And at night, he receives a vision. And if you remember the vision, the dream that he had was this. It was a man from Macedonia. And he said, come over and help us. Come help us. And then Luke, in recording this, borrows one of Mark's favorite words, immediately. They made their way to Philippi. And Philippi wasn't particularly noteworthy as a church or as a community. They didn't even have enough men for a synagogue. And Paul goes to Philippi. And I bring all of that up because if you remember Philippians, what a great book. It's full of the love of God, the grace of God. It's full of joy and solid theology and practical application and those four short chapters. But Philippi and Paul's relationship with the people of Philippi became a great gift to him. He had one plan. That plan was seemingly blocked by none other than God, and he was led to Philippi. But particularly, what I want to emphasize is in the fourth chapter, right at the end of Paul's letter to the Philippians, and you remember, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, let that be with you. It's a beautiful portion, but the particular portion I mentioned is one that's always been one of my favorites because I think it's something that addresses, one, what every one of us longs for, and two, what is always so elusive. What we long for and what is so often elusive in our lives. And in writing to the Philippians, Paul writes this, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And in one of the translations, Paul says this, I've learned the secret of being content. Is that something that you long for, to feel contentment? Is that something which often feels elusive in your life? And before you think I'm going to wag my finger at you and tell you to be content, because that's effective. That has always worked for me, and I imagine it will be grateful. That's always changed my disposition and my mindset. Before you think I'm going to shake my finger and tell you to be thankful, to be grateful, to be content, one of the things that we see, though, is that Paul has experienced this. Paul has experienced this by way of a gift. And what I would offer to you, what I would hold out to you, it's more than knowledge that has brought this about in Paul's life. It's a person. It's a person. It's a relationship. It's the person of Jesus and the intervention of Jesus, the inbreaking of Jesus into the life of Paul, this love and this grace that has been made known to him, not just in his head, but also in his spirit and his life as well, that has brought about this feeling of contentment. I know what it is to be in plenty. I know what it is to be in want, in good times and bad times. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether in plenty, whether in want, that gift of God's grace, which brings about a security and a contentment in our lives. At the very beginning of John's gospel, Jesus asks a question of those who come to him. And the question that he asks them is a question that resonates with you and me as well. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? What are you searching for is what Jesus asks them as they come to him. And their response, they ask him, well, where are you abiding? Where are you staying? And again, not by way of sort of finger wagging, but those questions for you and for me this morning. Where are you abiding? Where are you dwelling? Do you long to experience the commitment, the peace that comes from God? John 6 is a rich and full chapter, and it begins with Jesus' feeding of the 5,000. And in John's gospel, the miracles of Jesus are referred to as signs. And the significance of a sign, obviously, is certainly where it directs and where it points. But specifically in the gospel, in the miracles of Jesus, it's a whom. To whom do they point? And they point to the person of Jesus who comes into the world that the people might be filled. And the 5,000 are fed. And now we find that Jesus has gone across to the other side of the lake, and they're looking for him. And Jesus says those words, you're looking for me because you experienced momentary fulfillment when you ate the bread, but I'm offering something greater. I'm inviting you to find something greater than just momentary fulfillment, which, as we all know from experience, is great in the moment, but then it's fleeting and it's passing. Work for the food that exists. Work for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. And of course, they ask that question, what must we do to be doing the works of God? And of course, the word which Jesus says is believe. Believe. Believe in the one he has sent. Believe in me. And I began by talking about Paul because we see what happened in Paul's life as Paul, in all of his various efforts to find righteousness and to find contentment and all of the accumulation of his acts and actions and accomplishments, had left him discontented, had left him angry, had left him unsatisfied. And it took the actual person of Jesus in his life, that relationship, that inbreaking, that enabled him to begin to experience that which Jesus says in John's gospel, I've come into the world that you might have life and that you might have life to the full. I don't know about you. I've, of course, been tuned into the Olympics and watching, of course, some of the great stories which unfold. If you weren't watching, my girls and I just happened to be watching at the particular moment the U.S. women's rugby team, the 7-a-side rugby team. If you didn't see the ending, do yourself a favor and Google it after the service. And it was this incredible moment. They are at their, I don't know if you call it the goal line, but they're right at the goal line, and there's literally seconds left in the game, and they get the ball and they pass it over to one of their teammates. And as she goes forward, one of the Australian players goes to wrap her up, and you think that's it, but she breaks that tackle, and then there's another woman in front of her, and she manages to basically plow through this particular woman, and then the field is open. And like literally, it's seconds on the clock, the game is ending, and she is sprinting the entire length of the field with the team, with the Australian team chasing her. She dives over the goal line and then kicks the extra point. For men's or women's American rugby, it was their first medal. They won the bronze medal, their first Olympic rugby medal in 100 years. It was just this phenomenal moment. And of course, there's not time to talk about Pommel Horse Guy. That is its own sermon. Stephen Nedorozic, if you remember, he's over on the sideline. He's working the Rubik's Cube, and then he whips off his glasses and walks to the pommel horse and squints at the pommel horse, of course, and then gets on and enabled the U.S. men's gymnastics team to get a bronze medal. And then he got an individual bronze medal and after went back and did his math team homework. He's just this phenomenal moment and story, but there's one in particular I want to tell you about. One of the persons I've been following is Katie Ledecky. And if y'all remember, Katie Ledecky, this phenomenal swimmer, has now medaled, I think she's one of maybe five people to medal in four concurrent Olympic Games. Just amazing. She won her first medal at 15 in the London Olympics. And one of the things that's been interesting in watching Katie Ledecky is we see as she's coming along, there's new people coming along, and she's still there, but you can see that her time is running out. There are American teammates who are coming along. There's Summer McIntosh out of Canada. There's Ariane Titmus out of Australia and all these. But if you watched recently the 1,500-meter freestyle, she won that particular event. And as I say, her time's kind of slipping away. I mean, she's 27. So clearly there's not a lot of time left for her in the, at least in the Olympic world. Her time is now sort of coming to an end, and a new generation is coming in to replace her, but she's still hanging in there. But again, here's another one. If you didn't see, just Google Katie Ledecky, young girl. As she's coming out, she just won the gold medal in the 1500, and she's coming up out of the pool, and she's walking over, and the camera shows this young girl, 7, 8, 9 years old, and she's decked out in her red, white, and blue, and red, white, and blue ribbons in her hair, and she's calling out, and she's waving to Katie Ledecky, and Katie looks over and waves at her, and it's you can read the little girl's lips. She's like, she saw me. She saw me. She looked at me. She waved at me. And then literally, I'm not making this up, she sort of swoons and sits down. It's sort of like her Song of Simeon moment. She can depart in peace. It's kind of like Katie Ledecky saw me. She noticed me. She waved at me. I'm content. It was this moment, and I share the story of Paul, and I share the story of this little girl as well. We long for peace. We long for contentment, and the reality is that the it comes from a person. It comes from a person. This little girl was seen. She was seen, and in that moment, we see the transformation, the change that overcame. It's one of those gifts, one of those moments that will remain with her. We see Paul finding himself in Philippi and having discovered that secret of what is the gift of God, the peace of God. Yes, it's the mercy and the forgiveness and the salvation of God given to you and to me, a reconciled relationship with God. And it's contentment. It's a sense of peace, of being loved, of being seen, of being valued, of being known, regardless of the situations in which we find ourselves in our lives, which we know are fleeting. We'll be in plenty. We'll be in want. We'll know times of feeling full, times of feeling empty. But in Jesus Christ, he comes into the world to be lifted up. And as being lifted up and in his cross and his resurrection, we are, yes, reconciled to God, but we are seen. We're valued, we're loved, we're known. We're giving the food which we all hunger for and long for, which would actually fill us and which can never be taken away. Heavenly Father, you know the ways and means in which we seek fulfillment, this contentment to be satiated. Lord Jesus, give us yourself that we might know the peace and the contentment, and Lord, give it not only to us, but enable us to fill us in such a way that it also flows through us in our relationships and in our life. All this we ask in your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.